Psalms is where we're going to begin, Psalm 4, where we begin. But before we go there, I have a testimony I want to read to you. The church that my daughter recently began attending, she lives in York, Pennsylvania, and they recently started attending a church in New Cumberland. And so, and New Cumberland would be pretty much between Harrisburg and York. And the pastor was on vacation. They went to Outer Banks of North Carolina. I believe it was perhaps a camping type of trip. But regardless, he rode his bike to a local park where he sat at a picnic table, and the way he worded it is spending time with Jesus. The pastor had taken along his Bible, two or three other books, and he was sitting at the picnic table, had them spread out in front of him, praying and reading and just, you know, contemplating the day. And a man and woman came walking by, and when they saw the books spread out, he commented, "You sure have a lot of books there." To which the pastor replied, "Well, I'm here hanging out with Jesus." Now, this is not a 25-year-old, okay? The fellow's probably late 60s, maybe early 70s, okay? So I say that because that's not the usual kind of comment you would hear. But nevertheless, they chatted for just a half minute, and then the man and woman started to walk on. And didn't get too far away, stopped, and he came back thinking to himself, if you're here reading your Bible and having devotions, is the terminology we use, the man thought, this is somebody I could speak with. And so during the conversation, the pastor mentioned that he was there on vacation and that he indeed was a pastor of a church located in South Central Pennsylvania. And the man wondered, well, where in South Central Pennsylvania? And he told him, New Cumberland. And he said, New Cumberland, that's where I'm from. Okay? In Outer Banks, North Carolina. And then they found out that his lady friend was from Harrisburg, which isn't but probably 15 minutes away. And so they fellowshiped for a bit more, and then they prayed together. And the man, the next Sunday, began attending church. And the lady also began attending church. And after a few weeks of attending and hearing the gospel, she got saved and baptized and has since joined the church. So, you're never on vacation from Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? And these kind of opportunities can come about in some of the most unexpected of places and ways, okay? And I would say this, we need to be open to having more than a hi, how are you kind of contact. If he had been so focused on the good thing of reading his Bible and his other books and praying, he'd have missed the opportunity to interact with them. You see, even good things can keep us from being used by God. And so I think that's an important thing to remember. And I was encouraged to read that when I found it on her church's website. All right, now, Psalm chapter 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Last week, I began some thoughts about prayer. And I asked one question is, why do we pray? And what I emphasized, and we looked at several scriptures, was we are to pray for the Lord's sake. And in Daniel chapter 9, which we're not going to turn to, but Daniel chapter 9, verse 17 to 19, we saw that Daniel's motivation in praying was for the Lord's sake. That's when I stated a lot of times we pray for the church's sake, for our family's sake, for our nation's sake, all of which are good prayers, but the ultimate reason we're to pray is for the Lord's sake. And I also mentioned this. We can pray God will give us an escape from our problems or our pain. And to pray that is normal. Or secondly, we can pray that God will give us the strength to endure the problem or the pain. And that too is a natural response. But if we're going to pray for God's glory, the ultimate reason to pray is we ask God to enlist that problem or that pain, in the sense of a physical pain, to bring glory to himself for our good and for his glory. And so that is something that I believe we need to remember when it comes to this matter of praying. And of course, this is not easy, but it is possible. but it is something that we must want to have. Now, I'm asking another question here. I am asking the question, what is prayer? The most common definition, talking to God. And indeed, that's not only common and basic, it's a good definition. Prayer is talking to God. Now, there's a lot of other things that we could define prayer as, but that'll suffice, talking to God. In Psalm 4 and verse 3, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Well, that's great to know, but that's the latter part of the verse. Remember the beginning of the verse? Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God wants to set apart the godly for himself. Then he says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. He makes no promise that he's going to hear in the sense of answering and working on our behalf when we're disobedient, when we're faithless, when we're doing our thing. Oh, of course God hears. And because he wants to bring us to himself, he'll work in many a circumstance to get us into the place we ought to be. But when we typically think of praying and asking God, you hear things like, get hold of God and keep praying till you get from God what you want. And, wait a minute. Him that is godly who will set aside for himself. He makes no promise he's going to set aside for himself the one who's ungodly. So, the primary reason, now I ask, what is prayer? Okay, now, I also ask to begin with, why do we pray? Okay, and that's for God's glory. Now, I ask the primary reason for us to pray is in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Let me read it to you, the latter part of the verse, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If there was ever a reason to pray, it's because Jesus told us to pray. That's why we're to pray. Jesus told us to pray. Do we need any more of a reason? No, but he gives us additional reasons as we study the subject of prayer in the scripture. But we pray because he told us to pray. He told us to talk to himself. He told us to be godly so we can be set apart to him so that he will hear when we call to him. And yet, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 says, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Let me read that again. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Because of this verse, some people have wondered, why do I need to pray? Why do I need to ask God for things? He knows what we need. He tells us he wants to meet our needs. Why do I have to ask him? Well, there's a reason for that. Adrian Rogers, he's dead and in heaven now. He was pastor of a large Southern Baptist church down, I think, Memphis, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. He made the following statement, and I quote, Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold of his willingness. I'm going to repeat that. I had to read it a second time, okay? Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. So many times when we pray and there's this idea that we've got to somehow convince God to do this. That God is reluctant to do it. He's holding out on us. And we've got to somehow change God's mind so he'll do what we want. Well, now when I begin to explain it that way, we can begin to see the ridiculousness of it, can't we? Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his willingness. And that's why, even though he knows what we need, why it is that we are to go to him in prayer. In God's grand scheme of things, he has given to us the privilege of cooperating with him in prayer. We're not trying to change God's mind. We're not trying to get him to think different. We're trying to get in communion with him. We're trying to get in harmony with him. That's cooperating with him, you see. Now, listen here. We cooperate with him. We're not trying to get him to cooperate with us. That's a lot of times what we want. We want God to get on our side. No, we need to get on God's side. And so we need to cooperate with him in prayer. Now, another verse in Luke, it's in chapter 19 and verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's common scripture. I'm sure many of you know that verse. Many of you have at least heard that verse before. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know what the most frequent prayer requests are in churches like ours? In our church, in churches like ours, in churches that aren't maybe like ours, but they nevertheless, to some degree, they teach the Bible. You know what the most common prayer request is for? Physical things. Physical things. I'd venture to say probably 6 or 7 times out of 10, the prayer request is for something physical. Pray for my aunt. Just learned that she has cancer. Pray for my brother. He's having heart surgery. Now, based on our prayer requests, Now, I'm going to tell you more about this. Don't react against this too strongly. Based on our prayer requests, we're more interested in keeping saints out of heaven than the lost out of hell. Now listen, it's not wrong to pray for physical needs. I mean, our life, this is our life, this physical life, this life that we now live in the flesh. We live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And so we are most affected by things that affect this life. But hey, aren't we taught that we have new life in Christ Jesus? And we have a new nature and a new way of looking at things? But we fall back to that old way. Okay? Now, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to pray for Christians who have physical needs. It's not wrong. Those that were requested tonight, it's not wrong. Next week and the week after and the week after, it's not wrong to make those requests. But it is right to pray for unsaved people, for them to get saved. There's nothing wrong with 6 or 7 out of 10 being for physical. But, you know, I don't know how we do this now. There ought to be 6 or 7 for spiritual, too. Now, I know you can't. That math doesn't add up. I understand that. But I'm making up the illustration. So, but you get my point? Go ahead and pray for your aunt who just found out was diagnosed with cancer. Go ahead and pray for this one and for that one. Oh, good night. I remember when Sister Ruth Ann told us about Naomi. And Naomi fell and broke her arm. Well, of course we're going to pray for her. And we did pray for her. And it's right to pray for her. But you know, there's nothing wrong with somebody else. And I'm not going to call any names. With somebody else who's sitting here. Or here, there's no one there right now. Okay? Nothing wrong with them saying, would you please pray? Would you please pray for my grandfather? He doesn't know Christ as Savior. Would you please pray for my mother? She's lost. Would you please pray for my co-worker, Bill? He's not saved. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll call people's names when we attach a physical need to it. There's absolutely nothing wrong. It's altogether right. And we ought to be calling out people's names that are lost, needing Christ as Savior, and to pray for them. John and Sharon, you can count on it. If we're going to have prayer requests, you're going to hear prayer for their sons. And we know that what they want is for them to get saved. Listen, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. It's not a tragedy to die and go to heaven. But it is a tragedy to die and go to hell. And that's where it all falls out. You see? I got a brother 10 years older than I am. He's got general dementia, meaning there's no specific category of it. It's just general dementia. And his wife's taking care of him. And you know, we pray for him. And I hate to see him die. But the side of the family that he and I take after generally live to mid to late 80s. And then they check out. Okay, you say, well, that's an unusual way to put it. Well, I don't know. The ones I'm talking about have all been saved and they've gone to heaven. Amen. I think that's a good way to put it.
Right.
Okay? And so, now, I'm going to miss him when he goes. I don't see him much because he's down in Pennsylvania and I'm up here. But I'll miss him when he's not around. But, oh, I'm thinking now of an uncle and a cousin on the other side of the family, that they died and they weren't saved. I'll never see them again. That was a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And we need to be praying for people by name, okay? By name. There's not a thing wrong with requesting prayer by name. I know Jody's done that already. She has asked us to pray. And I remember your one sister, I think it was Liza, and you asked us to pray for her. She was having a physical headaches, bad headaches or something. And then you said, and she's not saved. Okay, so you can often, if the person's not saved, you can make it a double prayer, okay? We want prayer, because what we want is for her to keep living. We want her to keep living. We want her to recognize how God has been working in her life, answering your prayers for her on that and whatever else she may be praying for her for. But for what purpose? Just so life's a little easier? Well, there's nothing wrong with life being a little easier, but hell's mighty hard. And therefore, we want to get her saved. And so many things. It's a tragedy to die and go to hell. Now, I'm going to close with this as soon as I find it here. Where did I put them notes? Good night. Who took them notes? Oh, here they are. If we pray to escape a problem or pain, then we see that pain or problem as an enemy. If we pray to endure the pain or problem, we see it as a master. It rules our life. It governs us. But if we pray to enlist our problem or our pain, to enlist it for God to use it in us, then we can see that pain or problem as our servant. And no longer are we governed by it, but we're seeing God's grace through it. And we could say, in spite of it. Father in heaven, oh, there's so much for us to learn about this matter of prayer. And Father, whatever we understand or don't understand about it, whatever we can explain and can't explain about it, the biggest thing, Father, is that we would just do it. We would pray. We would talk to you. For we know you're not concerned with the floweriness of the words, the preciseness of the sentence. You're concerned with the expression of our heart. And so it's to that end that we pray and ask you, Father, even now as we go from this part of our prayer meeting into the prayer rooms, so the ladies sit together here in the pews and intercede on behalf of the needs of others, those who've given requests tonight and many others that we all are aware of. We pray that you will be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.